I speak to you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. The text for the sermon comes from the Magnificat, which is Mary's song of praise, which we encounter in the second half of our gospel reading for today. Mary has gone to visit Elizabeth, who is pregnant with John the Baptist, just as Mary is pregnant with the Christ child. Now, this is one of three songs that we encounter in the first two chapters of Luke, the other two being the Song of Zechariah and the Song of Simeon, the Benedictus and the Nunc Dimittis, as they're referred to in the prayer book. Now, a friend of mine once remarked that it's a bit odd that Luke starts off as something of a musical with these three songs, and then after chapter two, that abruptly stops, and it's a drama with a narrative for the rest of it. But what I think is interesting about these three songs is that in each one, the person, Mary or Zechariah or Simeon, is proclaiming something that they see. They're seeing the world differently because of this child, Jesus, whether in the womb or in infancy, and they're proclaiming their vision through song. Isn't this why we like, why we value great works of art? Because they allow us to see the world differently. The artist is someone who sees the world from a different perspective than the rest of us, and who shares that sight with us through their chosen medium, whether that be literature or visual art or film or music. All of this invites us to see the world from a different perspective, from the artist's perspective. So I think it's fitting that Mary, she sees the world differently, and she announces this through song and invites us to see it with her. Because if you were to look out onto the world, you would see that those who are powerful, those who are hungry, or not hungry, who are filled with good things, that their things are going well for them. But Mary says, yes, that's the case. But in fact, from God's perspective, God is doing something for those who are hungry, those who are lowly. God is lifting them up through this child that is in my womb, through me. This is something that is not visible to everyone, but Mary sees it. And I think this idea of seeing things from a different perspective is a way to think about faith. The Swiss theologian Hans-Urs von Balthasar might not be a household name, but he wrote this massive theology centered on beauty, on aesthetics, as the center of his theology. And one of the main points that he makes is that faith is a kind of sight, a kind of seeing the world through new eyes, catching a glimpse, no matter how refracted or diminished or through a mirror dimly lit, but seeing something different. And that's likened to faith for him. And that's what's happening with Mary in the Magnificat. If we just look a little bit before our text for today, we see the Annunciation, where the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and announces to her that she will give birth to a child by the Holy Spirit. Now, from our perspective, 2,000 years later, after all this commentary and tradition and praise and worship centered on that act, we it seems so obvious to us what's going on, that this is God incarnate, the second person of the Trinity, who will preach and die and be resurrected and ascend to heaven. But from Mary's perspective, none of that's clear. She sees something of what God is doing, but she doesn't have the full picture. But she has enough to respond in faith. She responds with the famous fiat mihi, be it unto me according to thy word. And because of her faith, she is able to see from a new perspective. She sees what God is doing. She sees something of her role in it. And she trusts in God because of that. So this, her gift of faith, allows for a new sight, a new way of seeing the world, which she announces through song. So I've said a lot about Mary and about her faith and her her sight. But how does this affect us today? How does this affect our faith and how we see what God is doing in our lives in this church? So I grew up in a distinctly non-Marian tradition. I grew up Baptist, which has a lot of emphasis on Jesus Christ, on his teachings, his ministry, his life, his work, and his person. And there was a worry that if you put too much emphasis on Mary or the saints, or really anything besides Christ, that you would lose sight of Christ's significance, that you would be giving undue attention to something that's not Jesus. And while that's a good impulse to have, I think we need to have our gaze fixed on Christ. What I've realized being in the Anglican tradition and in this form of prayer and spirituality is that Mary actually points us better towards Christ, better shows us who Christ is. So giving reverence to Mary and understanding who she is helps us see her son, Jesus, better through a different light. So in the fourth and fifth centuries of the church, there was all these debates and controversies and discussions about how to properly speak of Christ. How do we confess who Christ is faithfully and correctly and adequately? And amidst all this conversation and discussion, there was this guy who was Cyril, who was the bishop of Alexandria, and he said, if we're to confess that Christ is both God and human, if we're to make that affirmation, then we need to refer to Mary as the Theotokos, which just means the God-bearer or the mother of God. Now, others in the church, they thought this was an audacious claim. This is improper. God can't have a mother. God is God and humans are human. This is absurd. But Cyril won the day because he pointed out that if we are to say that Christ is really a human, that God really became incarnate in this and took on flesh in this little baby that became the Jesus of Nazareth that we know. If we're to affirm that, then we have to affirm that Mary is the mother of God, that Mary bore the incarnate God in her womb, which reframes our understanding of who God is. The one of the central claims of Christianity is that God took on flesh and dwelt among us in a concrete person. And if we're to keep that in sight, then that means that we have to keep who Mary is in sight properly. Mary is the one who bore God in her womb. Now, if you come to this church at 9:30 on a Sunday, and John David didn't put me up to making this plug, by the way. I know some of you might. You'll find some of us, some of you who are here in the pews, praying the rosary, which is a form of prayer in which we pray with Mary and with each other as we reflect on the mysteries of Christ's life, on his death and his resurrection and ascension. And one of the things that's happening in this form of prayer is that we're praying with Mary, asking her to intercede for us as we contemplate these mysteries, which draws us further into the mysteries, further into them, into a deeper understanding of who Christ is and what his ministry and life, what his significance and meaning was. So through that, through really having Mary as a companion in prayer, we're able to understand better who Christ is for us, who the God incarnate is. Now we're coming up on Christmas, just this Tuesday, in the season of Christmas, which is the central feast of the incarnation, where we encounter the incarnate Lord in this baby in a manger. And my prayer for us as we're entering into this week is that we would allow this child to reframe our perspective, allow us to see the world with new eyes through the vision that we are enabled, the faith we are enabled to have through this small child, this incarnate Jesus who was born of Mary. So just as Mary saw the world anew and was able to proclaim it in the Magnificat, the song of praise. I pray that we will be able to see the world anew through her Son, and likewise praise the Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.